Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. We're excited that you've taken a little bit of time out of your Thursday evening to come in and fellowship with us. Tonight, as we did last week, we have a special guest with us. His name is none other than Pastor Ronnie Henry. And Ronnie Henry is going to engage in this little conversation that we're having this month on the PRF Table, talking about responsible holiday spending. We know that there's a lot of things that go on during the holiday times when people are spending money that they have, money that they don't have, people are in need. And so we want to just come and bring you a couple of tips, if you will, see what we can bring to you that's going to help you during this holiday season and beyond. So with that, Pastor Henry, how are you this afternoon or this evening, sir?
Good evening, my brother. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm good. I'm trying to see how we can get you connected on Facebook Live. I don't see an add button on my end, but if there's something that pops up on your end, then we'll get it in that way. All right, so listen, while we do that, let's just talk about where are we? We're talking about responsible holiday spending, and we recognize that some people may not have been here last week to hear what we talked about. So can you just maybe open us up with some of your thoughts, especially being a pastor, a father, a husband, and maybe give a little bit of an intro about who you are for those who weren't with us last week.
Absolutely. I serve as senior pastor at Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Adamstown, Maryland, and we are moving into our fifth year now, actually, of serving God's people. And last week, we got into the discussion about the responsible holiday spending. I shared a little bit about my experiences and how I remember the season when we were blessed to be employed right after graduation from college, and you get a little bit of paper in your pocket, and you think that you can take care of everybody at Christmas time. And
right.
You find out very quickly, come January when the bills are due, that wisdom did not kick in. And so I remember me and my wife had to adopt a different strategy. And since then, of course, you learn what good stewardship means as you follow the teaching of the word. And I think it's very important that we try to share as much as we can so that people are not stressed come January, February, because they simply spent beyond their means. So I think, you know, you have to have a plan, and you have to have a good plan that's going to allow you to.
And I think that's where we probably should start tonight, talking about a plan. A lot of times what we see in ministry is that people a lot of times they fail to plan. And I used to be real critical. I'll be honest with everybody. I used to be real critical about people that did not plan. Not saying that I have everything all together when it comes to planning personally. I struggle at times with planning certain things. Lord knows I do. But I used to be real critical, Pastor. And I started to realize that I can go and I can look at Proverbs all day long that this talks about the ants and gathering food in the summer so it has it in the winter. I can look at that scripture all day long, but what does that really say to somebody living out here in this world? We're not ants. We're people. We're not ants. We have jobs. We have families. We have things different than the ants. So it's good to have that biblical reference, but if we don't give people something that's a lot more tangible to go along with the spiritual, I personally think that we're oftentimes doing people a disservice in ministry because they need that practical. A good friend of mine and brother on our team, Mark Shelton, he says all the time, he said, you know, God is a supernatural God. and he does the super. A lot of times he's waiting on us to do the natural. And so I want to be able to, during these 30 minutes for tonight's show, to be able to give the people at least something to help them to be responsible when it comes to spending. I think we did a good job last week of setting up a foundation of why it's important. But if we can, let's delve into something that we can just tell people to do that will make them be a lot more responsible when it comes to this holiday spending. So is there anything that you can think of off the top of your head or anything that's in your spirit that will just really help the people in this area?
Well, as you talk about practicality, the first thing I'm going to think of is apply some common sense. At the end of the day, we primarily know our responsibilities and the things that we have to take care of. Those things tend to not change much from month to month. So if I know that I have a list of 8 or 9 things or 8 or 9 items that are going to be my responsibility each and every month, then I have to account for those things. Make sure that whatever I'm planning to do around the holiday season is not going to impact. That's just common sense to me. Sometimes I heard the phrase common sense is not common. But
that's right.
You know, that's to me, that's the first thing, even before you get into biblical principles and methodology. Just apply a little common sense. If you know the rent is due, the car payment is due, you've got, you know, your basic necessities, then you have to accumulate that total and go from there based on the income and everything else. So that's off the top of my head.
So let's wrestle with that. I love the PRF table because we wrestle with stuff. And I love that we always on the table, we don't have to agree with the guest, and the guest don't always have to agree with us. Let's look at the common sense factor. From a biblical perspective, in Acts chapter 8, some of you may recall, I'll just tell people to go and read it for themselves because I'm not going to read everything, but there's a story with Philip. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, where Philip approached this Ethiopian eunuch because the Spirit led him to this person. And then the eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah, or the scroll of Isaiah, and Philip goes and asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch replies, "How can I understand if there's nobody to teach me?" And for as long as I've been doing what I've been doing with PRF, we're talking about 10 plus years now, I'm really amazed. This is being really genuine. I'm amazed by how many people don't have common sense about a lot of the things that we know in this area. A lot of people don't have common sense about budgeting. And I think I know that a lot of times a lot of people are not able to maybe apply the common sense factor because they're in a mess. They're in a hole. And so let's deal with that. Can we really expect people to operate with common sense when they're in a bad way? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know that you should not be spending more money than you have. But a lot of times people don't have enough money anyway. And they're doing things that they've done because that's what's been part of their culture, for example. I don't think my mama showed me how to budget. Nothing against my mama, but my mama didn't show me how to budget. Only thing my mama told me growing up after Henry was, "Nate, make sure you put some money away, make sure you save." But the practical way of doing that, it never was shown to me. I heard about it all the time, but it never was shown.
You're so right. I can concur with that as well. You know, the actual teaching part never occurred. It just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Something you had to learn on your own. And most of the times you learn that trial and error. You learn that
right
after you got debt.
That's right. After. I'm holding a $3,500 credit card for 10 years that I can never get down, right? Yeah, that's when I learned that. So maybe, this is just me, maybe one of the things of practicality can be that as we get excited during this holiday season, because we're talking about this in October, right? And we know that a lot of the money that is going to be spent is projected $714 to $720 billion is going to be spent during the holiday season this year alone. Maybe we need to have, maybe people, we can tell people out loud, say to them, if you don't have certain things in place, don't go spending it on other stuff. Can we say this as religious leaders? If you don't have life insurance, and, you know, I'm not going to go there on all the things, but if you don't have life insurance on your child, and your child is one, then maybe you don't need to go and buy those $20 pair of sneakers that they ain't even walking in right now. Can't even use the wall. They just look good on their feet. You know, it's small things that sometimes we have to tell people, just don't do it. And I'm one of those ministers that I'm not afraid to tell somebody, just don't do it. I'm not worried about the repercussions of your feelings getting hurt. Just don't do it, right? If we're going into holiday spending, but we know people get into a fix. So I think asking the questions, Pastor Henry, is so critical. Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Because all this, all these things, when you start running down the list, they point to how we are as stewards. So can we?
Well, you touched on the cultural issue and how many do what they do because of how they grew up. And I believe that's true. Now, you do know that I know you. And one of the things that you're not afraid to do is hold pastors and preachers accountable. And at the end of the day, I'm very proud to say that even as you and I are talking right now, literally, there is a class going on at Hope Christian Fellowship Church with our young adults where they're learning how to financially use God's money responsibly. And so the teaching needs to occur before we get to this moment. You know, there has to be some teaching that's done in the church house to deal with some of these issues as well. We can't just teach about what it means to know the Lord. We have to teach about, okay, now that you know the Lord, what does that mean for your life and how you spend what the Lord provides, how you use what the Lord provides.
Yeah.
And that's not happening enough in the universal church.
Right. And I'm glad you said the universal church, because I was having this conversation earlier with a sister, and I said we have to be careful about using we and they, because it will point people who are hurt and wounded, pissed off at the church, and it will cause them to believe and say that that's for everybody. And here's what I said. Here's my alternative. When we know, for example, you just mentioned that there's young people that are at the church that you serve, learning how to deal with their money, right? We know this is one of the biggest issues. We had interns this summer, two of them, and they said, Dr. Dunlap, this is what we think about. We just think about, what are we going to do when we graduate from college and how are we going to deal with these student loans? That's what they said to us. So to have that, and my point to my sister was this, we have to identify those places that are doing the thing that we know God is pleased with and that are truly helping the people versus talk about the ones that are not doing. Because it's easy to talk about what a church is not doing, but it takes a little bit more effort to be able to say, when Pastor Henry was on the PRF table, he talked about, so whoever he had that was talking to them, why don't you call and send a text message or post to Pastor Henry and say, who is this that helps your young people out? That's a practical thing to do.
But the hardest thing, the harder thing is, you mentioned having this conversation with folks, you know, how do you tell this mother not to do this for the 2-year-old or 4-year-old when they already don't have enough money? And that's when it gets really hard, and that's why I think it's the real value of speaking to these young adults is that many of them have not gotten into that mountain of debt yet. And so you want to start teaching them before they accumulate that mountain of debt. Once folk are already strapped and already have a woe is me mentality, it becomes even harder to teach them because it's so hard to get out of that hole. It's so hard to be diligent to dig your way out slowly. It's not a microwave fix once you get into it. You have to work your
That's
way
right.
out.
That's right. I'm going to say something, and it may sting a little bit for some folks, but y'all know if I'm coming from the Bible, then you can be mad at me all day long. I'll tell you, go take that out on God. So talk to him about it. You know, you mentioned when people are already in debt or in situations. I promise you, from dealing with this is what I do every day, and it is tough dealing with folks that are in our age group. Because they're in situations, they have these mindsets. So there may be, again, to be practical with this, it may be necessary to not try to deal with everybody in the church. It may be just and not saying that you're doing this intentionally, but it may just be that a pastor, a leader needs to say, you know what, we're just going to take the 21 to 25-year-old, and we're going to try this out. We're going to talk to them during this holiday, before the holiday season come about. Because oftentimes, we see it, if we look in Numbers 13 and 14, where the 12 spies went out, and then two of them, all 12 of them came back. They had grapes as big as the head on the screen that you're looking at if you're watching. And it took the two people, or at least two people, to carry this fruit back from the promised land. And everybody knew it was real. But there was something going on in the mind of 10. That they was like, we're grasshoppers in their eyes. And who told you that you were grasshoppers? You didn't have a conversation with the Canaanites. So their mentality led the people into a bad way. Because when you go over to the 14th chapter, it talks about how there was a rebellion against God because the people were in such a way, but it was because of how the leaders were. Say to Moses, listen, tell them, here's what's going to happen. Everybody 20 years and younger, they're going to go into the promised land, except for the only two that's older than 20 is Joshua and Caleb. But the part that gets me, I'll read this. He says, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sin. Then you will discover what it's like for me to have an enemy. Then he goes on down. He says, the ten men Moses has sent to explore, the ones who incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. Of the 12 who had explored the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. Then it goes on to say, a little bit before, it says, your children will be carried off as plunder. I will bring them into the land safely, and they will enjoy what you have despised. So the whole point of saying that is, these were the children of Israel, Pastor Henry. 600,000 men, a million plus easy, with women and children, that exited out of Egypt, going into the promised land, and all those folks just didn't get this because their minds wasn't right. They allowed something that just was not the thing of God to cloud their judgment, and they followed leaders. That's the sad part about this. Leaders have to be the ones that say, listen, this is what we're going to do. Can I say it like I want to, Pastor Henry? If you're going to spend a lot of time, and I know we're in October, but if you spend more time doing Hallelujah Night or Halloween Night versus trying to prepare the people, come on, man. I just think that's me. I'm not anybody's pastor, but I got a pastor's heart. I got a pastoral calling on my life, and I'm a doggone leader. That just bothers me. And so we look at how much money is going to be spent during the Halloween holiday. It's a precursor for Black Friday. And are the leaders going to realize, come on, this is all part of the master plan of consumerism in our country, or capitalism. I'm not opposed to it. I just say we as the children of God got to be a lot smarter. I digress.
Well, as you talk about the applying the teaching to the right folk, I can't help but think about some of our communities that really are struggling. And
mm-hmm.
I've always been an advocate of, if you want that community to change, you have to go in and grab those little kids, the ones that mm-hmm. are, you know, 3, 4, and 5. That 14 and 15 and 18-year-old, it's hard to, you know, it's you're not giving up on them, but you really want to change the little ones. And that's why teaching is so important to these children, before they get to these levels. If we don't teach our children right now how to spend responsibly, they become the adults that are continuing the cycle of irresponsible spending.
Mm.
And so you're so very right. It's not, you can't teach everyone how to fish all at the same time.
Going back to the comments about people that are in a not so good a place. And we understand that they're a variety of people from a lot of different socioeconomic backgrounds that are watching or listening to the PR table, as well as people that call upon us, white, black, small churches, large churches. So we're grateful for being able to touch various communities and different cultures. So we're not saying that everybody is in a bad way. But what I am saying is there's enough people in a bad way or in a not so good place that we have to look at what we're doing. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself or love one another. And I'll be honest with you. Collectively, we get into this mode of doing for folks during Thanksgiving. Some of the retail money that's spent, some of that not $700 and something billion that's spent, last year was $691. But some of that money, Pastor Henry, is going to be spent on buying things to help folks in their time of need. So I'm not saying that all the money that's spent during Black Friday and during the holiday season is money that is wasted. But what I know is we could do a whole lot better if we chose to do some things a little bit different. Right now, people are already gearing up to sell us a bunch of stuff. And a lot of times it's stuff that we don't need. Why can't we just pull some of our resources, Pastor Henry? Because if we pull some of our resources, just think about this. Let's talk about being responsible. If my church and your church and Sister Mary's church and Brother Rod's church and Sister Stephanie's church and Kathy's church, and we're all in the same community. Let's just start in Jerusalem for a moment. And we're all doing, giving away holiday baskets. Don't you know we could have so much more of an impact if everybody didn't try to give a turkey away 3 days before Thanksgiving?
Well,
don't you know we have...
Now, what you're talking about sounds too much like... It sounds too much like kingdom building. You know, I just had a conversation just last night about strategic planning with a subcommittee that's focused on kingdom building. And one of the things that we talked about, and to answer your question, the reason that it's not happening is because that leader that knows it needs to happen hasn't stepped up. And in my case, in some ways, I'm guilty because I'm realizing it is now time for me to approach these other pastors in my local community and say, hey, you're doing this thing, I'm doing this thing, let's get together and let's do it together so we can impact more people at the same time. And so it's a kingdom effort. And I think too many pastors and churches operate in the local church paradigm all the time. And so kingdom in their efforts. And as you know, when you say why we can't get together, that's probably the biggest problem, especially in the African American churches. So we just have to figure out a way, and those of us that know better have to lead the effort to do better.
I'm gonna give something practical that those who are listening or those who are watching can do. And the reason that, again, we're talking about this early, it's like, why are we talking about responsible holiday spending? Because we know every year people are irresponsible during the holidays. I don't say what I say for condemnation, but if it convicts, it convicts, right? Conviction is not a bad thing, especially when you take it and you run with it and you do the right thing by it. Let's say that your church and my church are both going to give away turkeys this Thanksgiving. I tell people all the time, I said this in nonprofit organizations that I've been a part of before, you know, PRF, and that I'm still a part of today. And I said, you know, the people who we buy all this stuff from to put out there and to give to people in the community, whether it's homeless or whatever, all the money that we spend, don't you know, we're talking about responsible holiday spending, y'all. Don't you know there are corporations that will give us? And so for me, again, knowing a lot of the condition of the church, Pastor Henry, if my church reaches out to whatever this big, gigantic grocery store is that has a foundation that also gives $5,000 grants away like Tic Tacs, if we came and can get with them and we can feed people on a continual basis, then we don't have to put all this money into it right around Thanksgiving. At the same time, earlier you said, Pastor Henry, talked about individuals that are not in a good way. Listen, I can't see asking folks who don't really have it but have not opened their mouth and said they don't really have it, when the folks that we need to give it to are sometimes the folk on the inside that don't have it, but we don't know they don't have it. So now I pull that back. I pull back another layer of onion. If we don't do any type of assessment or do anything to find out what's the condition of the people, you will irresponsibly spend money, ask for money, and give stuff away to folks outside of the place where you serve when you got folks hurting right there on the inside. We did a legacy conference, we're in the middle of a legacy conference. It's 4 sessions. So, but last week something happened that was kind of special. We were filling out something because, you know, we do practical work in our conferences and workshops, and came up on a scripture. I forgot whatever scripture I was having everybody to read. And I said, listen, I'm gonna read out the New Living Translation. That's my preferred translation. I said, but whatever, everybody had their Bibles. About 16 of them. I said, listen, y'all read these verses to yourself. And one brother said this, and this is not embarrassing at all. This is beautiful. The brother said, can somebody read this aloud? I don't read well. And that thing touched my soul. He said that in a group of men. And I said, for him to do that, he had to believe that the place was safe enough for people not to ridicule him because other folks know how to read better than he did. And so if we're going to really do this, we have to make sure that the environment is safe so that people can say, listen, I need one of them turkeys. Not, well, brother, listen, I'm telling you what I heard, Pastor. Well, you know, if we got some left over, then come by the church. Huh? What kind of foolishness is that? If you got some left over, I may have been part of the ones giving to somebody else. So,
what you're communicating now is a little struggle for me because, you know, we, being a young church, we have aspirations, mm-hmm. and we stepped out and we had an event last fall where we, you know, we fed the homeless. And even while you're doing this thing that you really felt was a need, the overwhelming feeling I left with was, you know, we try mm-hmm. to give and we try to do as much as we can, but the folk that we minister to on that day, in all full transparency, we don't see them again until next year, in essence. And it's because we haven't collaborated with other churches to make sure that at least through the winter months, those folk have what they need to survive. So you're absolutely right. There's if you don't acknowledge that you even have that feeling, you never do any better. Mm-hmm. You just go out there every year and be content to do it once a year and stick your chest out like you're doing something. So even having the conversation is hard because you realize even while you're doing it sometimes, there has to be a better way where we, as you said, where we can do this all year long.
And I don't say at all, Pastor Henry, and folks need to understand, this ain't all. That's not all on you and in the church that you serve at, right? Because other leaders have a responsibility. We know what's going on in our communities. I know the churches that's doing such and such. I know what we're going to do during Christmas. We know. It's a matter of, has the Spirit of the living God touched your heart enough to say, let me chip in on this. Let me chip in on this, even though my church is not doing it. If you say that, then you're not operating like church. You're operating like kingdom. And that's one of the greatest things that we need right now. We need folks operating with a kingdom mindset that has nothing to do. Listen, it has nothing to do with my church. It has everything to do with serving the kingdom. And that means that's going outside of those four walls. So here's another thing, too. Whatever God has given for y'all to do, we're not, that's great. That's, you know what? Hey, that's it. Because we don't need religious leaders. We don't need you as pastors taking on more than you can bear, right? We can pray about this. Y'all can pray. Listen, Lord, send some more folks that will come and help feed this, you know, and if we can do something more, Lord, you need to send the resources. When praying for those other men and women that's in these other churches in the community, you know, it's amazing. Folks die all the time, and GoFundMe pages go up, and it is not being funded by the folks in their immediate community. So Dunlap down in Alabama, knowing that this is what you got going on in the community, I can give to your cause, not to lift up Pastor Henry, but to get the work of the kingdom done. Because the truth of the matter, I was just watching this movie. I can't think of the name of it. But this little young boy was in the back of a police car. And the officer was taking him into DCS. And the little boy is in the back of the car crying. And the officer said, "Son, how old are you?" 13, 14. And he told him how old he was. And then he said, "You know what? How long you been living like this?" His mom had been locked up, right? This little boy thought his mom was dead.
Wow.
2 months he was living on his own inside of the house. Of course, trying to avoid, you know, contact with law enforcement and, you know, child services and all of that. But he survived for 2 months in the apartment, thinking his mom had already died. She went to jail. He thought she died after she got out. And when that little boy told that officer that he had been surviving for 2 months, the whole summer almost, that officer said to him, he said, "Son," he said, "you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You don't even have a ceiling," something to that effect. Powerful words. But what was more powerful, Pastor Henry, was the words that the little boy said back to him. He said, "I can't make it by myself." That thing struck me. I said, "My God." I said, "This is from a child." He said, "I can't make it by myself." And then the officer said, "Neither can the rest of them." So here's the whole point. If we're going to deal with responsible holiday spending and really deal with the teaching and the practical side of this thing, not removing anything from the spiritual at all, just incorporating and infusing it into this as it's supposed to be, then there's some life lessons that we're going to have to put in place right now, because I'm telling you, 2019 is around the corner. Folks going to be mad come November on both sides of the aisle,
right?
Not to politicize this. They're going to be mad.
Right.
The truth of the matter is there's going to be some things that's going to be put in place that's going to affect you regardless of what side of the aisle you want. And so best thing that we can do as believers is get ourselves in position. We may need to just not spend as much right now. Listen, you and I was talking about this before the show tonight, Pastor Henry. We have places that are just totally ripped to shreds right now because of Michael, Hurricane Michael.
That's
I'm grateful
that's
that all right. That all I had to do was throw out all the food in my refrigerator and call my insurance company up and say, "This is how much the food was," and they send me a check. I'm grateful that's all that happened, but there's a whole bunch of folks that lost everything. So our minds shouldn't even be on buying a bunch of Christmas gifts that's already inflated in doggone price. They're pricing this stuff right now to get our money. That's what they're doing.
So what I hear you saying, my brother, is that you cannot get to responsible holiday spending without first getting to responsible spending.
We have to start somewhere, right? It's amazing that if we don't start before the holiday spending, then it just blows over. And it's like everything else. A lot of times that I talk about, when it comes to talking about insurance or wills, there's people that die all the time. And you know what I hear a lot of times? I've heard it plenty of times in the past. Right now is not a good time. Well, when is a good time? When the next person dies? Well, that's not going to be a good time. It's a continual cycle. So eventually we have to stop doing something in order to do something different. That's all I'm putting out there. Let's stop spending the way we're spending right now as believers and get ourselves in position to be able to do the work of the kingdom. That's my clarion call. So.
That's a good point, because if you can do it over the holidays, you can do it anytime.
That's right. And somebody has to be responsible to be able to tell people this is the time to do it now. Listen, I spend money for y'all as pastors, and they don't really have it, but they're going to stretch themselves. And then if you don't have the environment of the culture, the culture, the tone of the culture in such a place, when people themselves need help, here's why bankruptcy becomes so prevalent in February of every year, because people don't have nowhere to go after spending like they spend during a holiday. And if they're suffering in silence. And I just believe that we're going to break the back of poverty. We're going to break the spirit of pride and shame, all this crap that the enemy loves to keep wrapped up in Christian folk. We got to do some stuff now. We got to be coming together on this stuff now. Not wait until December. Nobody's hearing us come Black Friday, Pastor Henry. Nobody's going to hear
You're
us
right.
in December. So
you're right. You're right, sir.
Well, I think it's been a good show for all those who have been listening. We thank everybody. Pastor Henry, I thank you for being with us again on this show. We know a couple people are just now coming on. I just encourage you to go back and listen to the show from the beginning, because this is normally a 30-minute show, and I'm not sure. I'm not even watching the clock. I don't even have a watch on right now, so I'm sure we've probably been going 10 or 15 minutes over, but it's okay, because I just believe that God wants you to hear this. And after hearing this, you got to do something about it. You who are watching, you who are listening, you have to do something about it. And this, it may not be easy, but who said it's going to be easy? We got the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So let's not be coward soldiers for Christ. Let's be courageous soldiers for Christ. So you know what? We need to deal with this, and we got to deal with this stuff in a spiritual way. We got to be praying about this. We need to be praying while other folks are praying, P-R-A-Y, while other folks are P-R-E-Y. Oh, my goodness. Here comes my good friend, Pastor Scott. Pastor Henry, Pastor Scott. Pastor Brian said.
I see him. I see Brother Brian say he still has high expectations.
Listen, I'm gonna put something on him. That's right. I want him to expect a huge Christmas present. No problem. Listen, this is
well,
I like how you said
well,
that. I like how you said that.
let me say this, brother, and sometimes when you have high expectations, it just doesn't work out. And there's a reason why I was not able to be on the video portion tonight, because I thought I would get a phone call from you on Sunday night, because you had some high expectations this past Sunday night, but I didn't hear from you at all. And I'm sitting here now with this crippling gold shirt on, so that's the reason you didn't want to see my shirt tonight, based on what happened Sunday with your Fly Eagle Fly.
Between you and Pastor Brian, the spirit has just left the atmosphere. All right, so listen. Hey, Kathy, don't be laughing. So for those who don't know, he is a Minnesota Viking fan, and I am a Philadelphia Eagle fan. All y'all probably know that already. And I think we didn't do so well on Sunday. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
Just maybe.
But I was hoping you were gracious enough as a guest on tonight's show that you would have just let that fly. But, you know, we are still the Super Bowl champions.
Hey. Yeah, it did not make up for last January, trust me.
That's right. Well, listen, y'all, we are glad for everybody who is tuned in. Real grateful for this humor at the end. Let's do what we have to do to make the kingdom of God better, to make sure that people that are walking walking on this earth have a better opportunity for a better life by the things and the choices that we actually make. If we truly just put God first and we know how to apply the principles that he's already listed in his word, man, we can do some great things. And just like that Ethiopian eunuch, if you don't understand, if you don't know, if you don't know how to budget, if you have a struggle with your spending, then call us. Send an email to us. Do something to put a step forward and let God meet you in that place. That's exactly what the Ethiopian eunuch did. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't put down a book and say, I don't know what I'm reading, so I'm just going to put it down. The Ethiopian eunuch just kept reading. And God was the one who orchestrated Philip to be coming during that time. And it says the angel of the Lord told him to go over to the chariot and ask him that question. So if you do your part, then maybe somebody else will be able to ask you some questions and going to be able to help. Same old thing when it comes to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. If the widow woman never asks the man of God, it all that happened in this, by the time you get to that 7th verse, it never would have transpired. I encourage you to go ahead and read it, because all we're teaching and all we're talking about is about how we can do these things, how we can put things together in a different perspective, but from a communal perspective. So just like the man said in the movie I was watching earlier, you don't have to do it by yourself. Don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. So, Pastor Henry, listen, we're going to be around next Thursday, sir?
Yes, sir. We'll be around.
I may not be there, so you may have one of the other hosts that are going to host. So I'm sure if I'm not there, we may have some more people that listen if I'm not going to be there. So, but, yes, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for joining us, for agreeing to help us just to wrestle with some things about responsible holiday spending. And we pray that next week we'll be able to provide you with some more things that you can do to help be responsible right now. This is the season. It's not about the holiday season. It's about the season of now. So with that, Pastor Henry, God bless you, sir. We'll be talking later on this week or early next week, and to the rest of you. Don't forget, Kimberly Show, first and third Friday, Kimberly Salas. Same telephone number, 347-215-7934, first and third Friday of every single month. Kimberly Salas, she hosts Your Health is Your Wealth. So with that, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. We'll talk to y'all soon, and we'll see you when we see you. Peace.
God bless you, sir.